It's deja vu. This moment's happened before.
You have found the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
Hello, and welcome to the Kaleidoscope Gallery. I'm your host, Paul, and alongside Kaleidoscope Gallery contributor, Dave, we will be chatting about a new twist on space tourism. A trip in a hot air balloon to the edge of space. And the rising cost of hiring professional blunt rollers. Also, atom smashers. Massive black holes in space. Mini black holes that zip through Earth on a daily basis. The potential of the wonder substance, graphene. And more. So let's get into this conversation inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
The countdown is on for yet another tourist view of Mother Earth and beyond. But this one is different. Instead of riding a rocket, this is a slow ride to the edge of space, inside a pressurized capsule hanging beneath a massive helium balloon. That's 100,000 feet up. It's not space. Passengers won't go weightless. But the view will be spectacular inside a first-class cabin, complete with massive windows, Wi-Fi, even a bar and restroom. A very different trip than the rocket rides that Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic and Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin are selling.
Oh, my God.
Actually going to space for about 3 minutes at a cost of nearly $500,000. The balloon trip with 8 passengers and 2 crew members will last up to 12 hours, starting at $50,000 per seat. Already 250 people have pre-ordered tickets.
Well, I'm really glad that you can join me here in my at my place tonight for this recording.
It's good to be here. It's good to be right in the vibe.
So, Dave, last time you and I had a conversation for the Kaleidoscope Gallery, we were talking about, I have been looking for venues to host a landmark birthday party. And you had sent over a suggestion to me about...
Yeah, we're going underwater.
An underwater party submarine, and that was really fun. I'm still considering it, maybe, perhaps, but... I did find another potential candidate to host my party. It's a party balloon. A balloon?
Like a hot air balloon?
A hot air balloon that takes you to the edge of space.
I'm not going to the edge of space in a hot air balloon. I'd rather go on Bezos' rocket.
Now, this is coming soon. I don't know if it's going to be in time for my birthday, but... Choose your journey for one of our spaceports at the most amazing destinations on Earth. And this is called Worldview.
So is it open air or are you in some kind of bubble?
You're in a kind of gondola rising to 100,000 feet to gain a whole new perspective of our planet. And as you can see, the CGI pictures showing us the video here is better.
Go full screen on that. Holy jumping. I mean, I can see, look at the camera. I don't need to go in a hot air balloon. Hot air balloons are a bad idea even on low ground. Or like low altitudes, I should say.
All right, so here you go. Look, there's your capsule.
What?
Being pulled up by a giant, giant.
Squid or something.
A giant hot air balloon.
they're just going to suspend you from like a parachute.
Right out at near space, and
that doesn't look safe at all.
And you sure we could? Is it as unsafe as the submarine, the party submarine, though?
I thought a hot air balloon is kind of old technology. The party sub is like the latest nuclear submarine technology. They've got those guys with the ping machines on their ears. They've got a gym in that sub.
Right.
Yeah, this is definitely smaller.
There's no gym on that gondola basket. And like, you're going to be in that gondola basket at very close quarters with those people, like very close quarters.
So yeah, it would only it'd be kind of like, maybe it'd be good for a bachelor party then.
But what, and you're also going to, like, you're going to have to go through the atmosphere. So you're going to, everyone's going to be getting sick on each other. It's going to be nasty. Like, they haven't thought this through.
Okay. They haven't thought this through. This worldview party balloon. And the thing is
are you going to be, I'm saying, are you going to be able to party in the balloon? There's no way you can party in that balloon. The balloon is like you're not in the balloon that's all hot air. You're like this little like capsule where they're probably going to like just have to gas you with Valium to be able to survive it. Never mind party.
Well, and you know what though? It's going to cost $50,000 per seat. And what they're asking, although it hasn't actually been built yet, they're asking for a deposit of $5,000.
It's a terrible idea. I'll give him $5,000 though. What the fuck? I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna give him $5,000.
Oh, the question is, will I see stars? Yes, at 100,000 feet, you are above the thickest parts of the atmosphere.
Will I see stars?
So when you look up, you'll see the darkness of space, even during daylight hours, and you will not experience weightlessness on a worldview flight. How hard is the landing? These are from the FAQs. And this is disconcertingly long sentences here, Dave, of how hard is the landing?
Read me it. Tell me. Because I picture you going to, like, you just don't want to land so hard that your capsule explodes.
Additionally, due to horizontal landing trajectory of the parafoil landing system, much of the impact force is displayed laterally away from the capsule. This allows the capsule to land very gently on a series of airbags.
Airbags?
Yeah.
So here we go. We get into the capsule. A giant see-through balloon takes us up to 100,000 feet. We could check out the stars look up and see the stars.
Be great to get in the airbag business, right? That air is so easy, you know, your materials cost nothing. You're just putting air in a bag and selling it.
That's his J-O-B, his occupation. On his resume, it say, what do you do? I'm a blunt roller.
I roll blunts.
Is that what he's
professional? For PBR. Snoop. Professional blunt roller.
How does it come about, Snoop?
If you're great at something that I need, I'm hiring you.
Hey, what's up? It's Asia Sky from DX Daily Podcast. And Snoop Dogg smokes so much weed that it is actually worth it for him to cover the cost of hiring a full-time blunt roller. Back in 2019, Snoop Dogg appeared on The Howard Stern Show alongside actor and fellow weed enthusiast Seth Rogen, where Snoop revealed that he pays up to $50,000 per year for someone to roll his blunts for him. Well, recently on Monday, June 6th, the Twitter account UberFacts tweeted out, Snoop Dogg employs a full-time blunt roller who makes between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. But almost 3 years later, it appears that this blunt roller's salary has actually gone up. Snoop Dogg saw the post and he responded, inflation, their salary went up. However, Snoop didn't share any more details about the updated salary.
Actually, you know what's a great business? Has got to be, in my opinion, a PBR or a personal blunt roller. Headline in Mix Mag, Snoop Dogg raises salary of his personal blunt roller due to inflation. Okay, so in an episode of The Howard Stern Show in 2019, Snoop first told hosts that he had employed a personal blunt roller with a salary between $40,000 and $50,000 US a year. But he's upped it due to inflation. What do you think of that? Being a PBR be a pretty good job, right?
I'm sure it is a really good job. I don't think it's a real job. I think it's just the name Snoop gives his buddy who rolls his doobies on the road or whatever. But, you know, I think that you know, when you're on the road and people are rolling blunts for you, they're professional. Like, I don't know where this guy got certified. And I would say to anyone listening, this is not a profession that is a real thing. Like, you do not want to go to school for blunt rolling.
So there's, yeah. So, because only a guy like Snoop Dogg is going to employ such a person.
Yeah. To all the kids out there graduating high school, do not go to college for professional blunt rolling. It's not a real job. There's like no work. Snoop's the only guy who's got that on his job board, and you know, he doesn't even pay that well. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say that. It sounds like he's given this person a raise. And it's really not a job. It's not a job. Like, what are you going to just roll the week ahead of time? Like, it's just a joke.
As Snoop Dogg, the quote here is, if you're great at something I need, I'm hiring you. And in August last year, Kid Cudi, another rapper, followed in the footsteps of Snoop and asked for anyone in the Los Angeles area who knew their way around a blunt to come forward for a job role. So no, I think maybe in L.A., maybe in certain parts of America.
They also have pre-rolls, you know. Someone should give Snoop the heads up. You can buy those things already rolled. You don't have to have some dude hanging around, like, before you go to bed, you know, like, hey, right, one more for before bed.
Wow. Maybe, I think you might be onto something there, though, but I think they want some bespoke joint. And, you know, Kid Cudi, when he sent out the job ad looking for serious applicants only, he asked them to send their resume. So I guess you'd have to somehow.
So you're trying to tell me this is a legitimate profession?
And perhaps in L.A. or places like that, you could actually eke out a living as a professional blunt roller.
Does it give you extra party cred? And then you get into more parties, and when you get more parties, you get more business, you can make more business, you get more money, you can hire more blunt rollers.
Yeah.
Until eventually you have like 10 blunt rollers. Like, you don't even need that. You're rolling blunts for like half of Los Angeles.
Yes, you could have a blunt rolling enterprise.
Yeah. You know that there. But the thing with that is a real thing. Like, they have companies who do that. Like I said, that you can buy them pre-rolled.
But they're not bespoke. They're not specially tailored, you know?
Oh, like, so he's saying, I want one of those ones with, like, you know, that looks like a horn or whatever. With like it looks like a mountain goat with, like, two horns. Like, yeah. Or this triple candle switch, you know, and like, this dube burns into that dube, burns into that dube, and yeah. Then at the end, like, a small silver ball rolls out, and Snoop Dogg spits it onto the floor, like...
Black holes are some of the strangest and most fascinating objects in space. They're extremely dense, with such strong gravitational fields that not even light can escape their grasp. Because nothing can escape a black hole, they are invisible, making them very difficult to find. However, by using special telescopes, we have detected them by studying the influence they have on their surroundings. But what some of you may be surprised to find out is that we can also listen to these elusive cosmic monsters, and NASA has recently released the audio of a supermassive black hole located 250 million light years away.
Now, this is a story that you sent over to me, Dave, so I'm not totally familiar with this, but the headline is intriguing. This is from CNN.com. Hidden black hole discovered in our neighboring galaxy. A newly discovered black hole has been hiding in a cluster containing thousands of stars in our neighboring Large Magellanic Cloud galaxy. The black hole is 160,000 light years away from Earth, and it's 11 times the mass of our sun. And they found it by observing how the black hole's gravity influenced the motion of a nearby star.
Yes. So what they admitted here is that when a black hole is moving through space, it actually warps the space around it and changes the spectrum of light that the scientists can detect. And in that way, they're able to identify black hole. But then if you read further in the story, they say they're not entirely sure it's a black hole. It could be a neutron star. And I really like the idea of it being a neutron star, because I don't like black holes being too close. So, but it's pointing us towards an understanding of how we can warp our way to the future, or at least to different dimensions.
Here's from the article further. While black holes are tricky to spot, they tend to give away their otherwise invisible presence by their actions. Black holes emit X-rays when they gobble up surrounding matter, or create gravitational waves when they crash into one another or collide with dense neutron stars. So that's a lot of action going on out there, right?
Oh, they later in the article, they use the term pinball, because some they say that sometimes when a black hole gets hit in a certain way, like repelled out across the universe in this crazy pattern. And not only could they not agree whether it was a black hole or a neutron star, as you read through the article, they switch between one scientific study says it's 13 times the mass of our sun, and the other scientific study says it's 4 times the mass of our sun. But just the idea that we're able to now study black holes is, I think, the point.
You are inside the Kaleidoscope Gallery.
The world's most powerful particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider, will reopen today after 3 years of being shut down for improvements. Scientists around the globe are hoping that the upgraded machine, which is massive, will be able to detect new particles and start a physics revolution that could forever change our understanding of the whole universe.
The other thing that we haven't talked about yet is the upgrade to the Large Hadron Collider. There's been an upgrade, and they're about to bring it back online, and I think that shit's going to go down. Gravitrons could be transmitted across the dimensional plane. And with the black hole getting closer and CNN saying black hole's getting closer, like, that's the new pandemic thing. Fucking black holes coming at us all the time. Every day a new black hole. There's going to be a whole black hole agency that is just here to, the black hole agency will be here to protect us from imminent close black hole encounters.
The black holes are everywhere, though.
Well, what about mini black holes? I'm always intrigued with mini black holes.
Isn't that what they're trying to create with this large collider, this particle smasher?
My understanding, well, they don't even know what they're trying to create. That's the scary part of what they're doing, but I love it. But I do know that. My understanding was they're looking for one. They're smashing atoms across this tube that runs over two countries, like an insane distance, and they super fucking charge atoms until they smash into each other. And then if they detect a missing gravitron, it will prove that it crossed to the other dimension.
Like another, that a graviton vanished to another dimension.
Yeah. But I'm sure there's a lot more going on than that. They're testing a lot of things down there. And atoms are the only thing they're smashing. They're smashing bottles. They're smashing
pumpkins.
Yeah, pumpkins.
Well, what happens if one of the particles like explodes through the tube and just like jumps out? Is that possible, do you think? Like, they have it all well fastened together?
Well, that's what they're trying to find out. I do think it's possible. And I think it could be, as you say. And I do remember reading this when it first came out, that there was some concern about mini black holes.
In 2008, there was a lot of excitement when the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, was first turned on in Switzerland. The particle accelerator was the largest ever made, representing decades of work by thousands of people, and it promised to unravel some of the deepest mysteries of the universe. But some people weren't so excited. In fact, they were afraid, because they worried the LHC would make a black hole and destroy the Earth.
It'd be awesome if Zippo came out with a black hole lighter instead of fire. Just opens a little black hole.
Wow. Didn't you? Yeah, your plasma lighter, I feel like that you had kind of a little mini black hole vibe to it.
But if I could actually warp a bit of space and just like a little bit of space.
And superheat it.
Enough to light a cigarette, at least. But you got to watch because it could like suck your cigarette right down there.
Like cosmic ghosts, miniature black holes may be zipping harmlessly through Earth on a daily basis, a new study suggests. That's the National Geographic. What?
Wow.
The new theory rebuts doomsday scenarios in which powerful atom-smashing machines, such as the Large Hadron Collider, spawn black holes that swallow the planet. So I can't believe that this room that we're speaking in right now is actually being bombarded by mini black holes.
Black holes are everywhere. They're coming at us all the time. That's insane.
When I was a boy, I remember lying out in the grass on a warm summery evening, looking up at the night sky and the stars and dreaming of ways to reach them. I remember the feeling of disappointment I felt when I learned that the nearest star, Proxima Centauri, is 25 trillion miles away, a distance so vast that our fastest rockets would take tens of thousands of years to reach them.
This is from MIT News. Astronomers discover a multi-planet system nearby. Just 33 light years from Earth, the system appears to host two rocky Earth-sized planets. Just a mere 33 light years, so it would only take 33 years to travel there at the speed of light. At the heart of the system lies a small and cool M-dwarf star. But it hosts at least two terrestrial, Earth-sized planets.
Wow.
Nevertheless, scientists are excited about the system because the proximity and the brightness in the star will give them a closer look to the properties of the planets and any signs of any atmosphere they might hold.
So, where are these places?
They're 33 light years away, so I don't know if that's really going to matter at this point, stage of the game.
Well, unless we can harness the mini black holes to make... Oh, now, wait a minute here. If the mini black holes could be brought together into some kind of a harmonic controlled array, they could use their micro ability to warp space to take us through space in ways we'd never imagined before. So what I'm saying is you could have a craft that was powered entirely by micro black holes. Mini black holes taking you up and then through.
Despite having roughly the mass of 1,000 sedans, a mini black hole would be smaller than an atom.
So there, well, of course, because if you're smashing the atom and a mini black hole pops out, it's just a little part of the atom.
But why did they choose sedans as a way to cars? It weighs 1,000 cars, but is only an atom.
One mini black hole weighs 1,000 sedans? Really?
Yeah, so that'd be a pretty heavy lighter.
What if it fell on your head?
Exactly. Or your toe.
Scratch that. I'll go back to the drawing board on that one. But I still like the... I think there's something to work on with, like, mini black holes being controlled into a way that we can warp space. Because that's what we need to do. Everybody knows it. Like, they're not warp in the... Yeah, you know, bent... Cut it, fold the paper in half and cut through it. That's how we got to do it. Because we know it can be done.
So we're going to have to travel through. We're going to have to harness mini black holes and use them and point it at a planet that we want to go to and kind of just like go through that mini black hole and be there. But mini black holes are apparently a dime a dozen. They're smashing through the planet every single day.
But if we're discovering these habitable planets and we could use the mini black holes to fold space and take like a quick shortcut to go and pay them a visit, then things are going to get real wild. We're either going to colonize or like fight or make friends. Making friends with friends from space.
That's interesting. We'll have to stay tuned to this mini black hole development because...
Is there a medium black hole? If I were a black hole at McDonald's, can I get a supersize black hole? Let's supersize that black hole. You want fries with that?
We will have to, I think, follow up on this mini black hole thing. I'm going to do my own research, find a way to capture some of these mini black holes.
We should follow up on it, yes. There's something really wonderful about it. It feels like an animated series.
Yeah.
The mini black hole is just fucking shit up.
And I do think we have to abandon our idea of this mini black hole lighter because of the fact that it weighs 1,000 sedans and...
Has anyone sat down and weighed a black hole? This is some scientist making shit up. 1,000 sedans. What scientist even weighs a sedan? They don't have that kind of shit in their lab.
What is 1,000 sedans to SUVs? What's the conversion? Maybe 820?
They have measuring cups that are like sedan size. Yeah. SUV size.
And like this, I don't understand. Why is it that this hasn't been big news that every single day mini black holes are crashing into Earth? I don't understand. Shouldn't that be big news?
It would explain so many things. Where's the black hole weather network? I wonder what my black hole forecast is for tomorrow before I go out to the park. There could be a lot of black holes today. Check the E. coli level in the black hole forecast. Before we go swimming. Because those things are fucking heavy.
What the probability of black holes in your area is going to be on a daily basis. Absolutely.
We'll have black holes over the 401 Collingwood area. It's a black hole warning. Everyone better stay indoors, you know. Get your black hole umbrella. I want to see what Arc'teryx is going to come up with in the way of a black hole code.
Like a mini black hole storm.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's what a tornado is. It's just like a mini black hole storm that we can see. It's sucking everything up. And that's how Dorothy went to Oz. She transferred across a dimension through the black hole.
I will say it does track. If there are, like, where are these mini black holes? Where are they? Well, perhaps they're tornadoes.
That's sort of how I picture them, like little Tasmanian devils or tornadoes. They'd probably be good for cleaning your teeth.
And like black holes, what do? They eat matter. What do tornadoes do?
They just destroy anything they come near.
You are listening to The Kaleidoscope Gallery. The Kaleidoscope Gallery.
The hype around graphene is hardly surprising. A man-made substance with extraordinary properties. It's incredibly versatile and conductive, and is predicted to heavily disrupt industries ranging from consumer electronics to aerospace for a while now. But even though that progress hasn't been as fast as many would have hoped, researchers and product makers are now, at last, beginning to make some headway. Before we go on to what it can do, though, let's first take a look at what graphene actually is. To put it simply, it's fundamentally a single layer of graphite, the material used to make a pencil. But instead of having a three-dimensional crystalline structure like graphite, graphene is two-dimensional, meaning it's just one atom thick, with the atoms arranged in a hexagonal lattice, or honeycomb arrangement. It's a bit like chicken wire. This structure is important because it allows each carbon atom to be covalently bonded to three more around it, and the strength of these bonds is one of the main reasons why graphene is so strong and stable. Another reason is because the atoms delocalize electrons, meaning they can move around more freely. And this is what makes graphene so good at conducting electricity and heat. In fact, it's the most conductive material that we've ever come across.
I think we should talk about one more thing. I think we should talk about what's been going on in the graphene scene. And there's an update in the world of graphene.
Okay, so let's learn a little bit about graphene. This is the definition in Wikipedia. Graphene is an allotrope of carbon consisting of a single layer of atoms arranged in a two-dimensional honeycomb lattice.
Let me explain the best way I've had it explained to me. If you were to take a pencil and mark pencil on a piece of paper and then take a piece of scotch tape, put it on the piece of paper and pull it off, you'd have graphene. It's effectively, and it's very important that it be a single layer of carbon. Single layer of carbon.
Okay.
And then because of the crazy geometry of it, it becomes like the most strong substance on Earth. The most versatile substance on Earth. It can transmit energy across it. It can stop bullets. It can filter water. It can do anything. It's the super material. And it won like the Super Nobel Prize when the guy first discovered it, like maybe 15, 20 years ago now. And there hasn't been any news. I've been waiting for like the graphene thing, because I'm like I believe that the graphene has a lot of potential.
So here's graphene.info.com. What is graphene used for? Graphene has a lot of promise for additional applications. Anti-corrosion coatings and paints. Efficient and precise sensors. Faster and efficient electronics. Flexible displays. Efficient solar panels. Faster DNA sequencing. Drug delivery and more.
Drug delivery. Well, they're making body armor with it.
If you've ever looked into owning body armor, you've probably noticed that 99% of soft armor is made from Kevlar. The problem with traditional Kevlar is that the moment it's exposed to any moisture or water, the Kevlar begins to break down and becomes completely useless. And that's why we created the ultimate next-level body armor. Introducing ProTech, a new innovation in Kevlar that combines military-grade protection with graphene microfiber technology. There is nothing that comes close to this level of body armor.
From a peaceful perspective, it's also a wonderful way to make video clothing. Because you can transmit light and electricity through it, you can make flexible materials that are comfortable with a layer of graphene on them and have video clothes.
And have some sort of all sorts of signals travel across this to light up and to display text on your shirt.
Yeah.
Here's graphene is stronger and stiffer than diamond, but can be stretched by a quarter of its length like rubber, said André Guillaume, who shared the 2010 Nobel Prize in Physics. A carbon with amazing potential. Wow. Here's a question here. Can graphene stop a bullet?
Yes.
Researchers from Rice University found that 300 layers of graphene, only 100 nanometers thick, was capable of stopping such bullets entirely.
So they're making like super suits for soldiers.
Super suits for soldiers with graphene, because it could just bullets just bounce off it, even though it's only 1 nanometer thick.
It can filter water. It can transmit electricity, so it can all be wired and tapped in. You can turn it into camouflage because it can display like very detailed, effectively video, I guess.
Graphene is the thinnest material known to man at 1 atom thick, but 200 times stronger than steel. But why does this sound too good to be true? But it wasn't awarded a Nobel Prize in Physics.
The promise of graphene is unbelievable. It's probably one of those technologies that is so disruptive to so many old industries that it's being dampened with money and fear and the usual.
The patents behind graphene suggest a wide array of applications, and this is coming from the New Yorker magazine. Ultra long life batteries, bendable computer screens, super fast microcomputers. So where is graphene in our lives right now? Why don't we have these suits? Why don't we have these amazing, fast, super fast computers and bendable computer screens and ultra long life batteries? Just what you were suggesting earlier, I guess.
Yeah, it's disruptive to enough big time old school industry that they can slow it down. They won't be able to stop it, but they can slow it down. That's what's going on. But it's coming. They were wise, they would figure out how to make money off of themselves.
This is from the same New Yorker article. Aluminum discovered in minute quantities in a lab in the 1820s was hailed as a wonder substance with qualities never before seen in a metal. But it wasn't until much later on that it became part of our lives. It took fully 3 decades later to allow industrial production where the price plummeted. So this may be a case of it's just takes a while for these things to get taken up, right?
Yeah. It always shocks me how slow innovation is adopted. I just wonder, like, if you sit down in a graphene suit and you move around a bit, does it like leave a mark like a pencil would? Can you write with your ass with a graphene suit?
If you had a graphene suit, you wouldn't actually even have to own clothes, because you just put on the graphene suit and just project whatever clothing you wanted to convey onto it.
Exactly, and it'd be perfect for invisibility cloaks.
And they also mentioned desalination. So what you could have is just graphene swimming suits, and everyone gets into the ocean and the sea and just swims away. It'll literally desalinate the beach. And then we could just use it as drinking water, right?
The water is the new oil. As they desalinate everything, it'll probably happen, and then they'll realize, like, oh, fuck, what about all... We need that salt. Try and get a picture of a close-up of graphene. It's like a... I don't want to say the name of the shape until I know, but I think it's like hexagonal or octagonal or some crazy, beautiful shape that makes it impossible. Like, only goodness flows through there. So you can filter things with it. Yeah, look at that. That is... That's like the honeycomb, right? It's like the magic shape. And it doesn't have to be thick to be strong. It just needs to be perfect.
Well, I guess that's another thing we'll have to wait and see. But the future is looking interesting. If you do have graphene coming online over the next decade or so, mini black holes, I think they will somehow go hand in hand with graphene.
You need a graphene armor to protect yourself from mini black holes.
Okay, Dave, before we close this off, do you have any parting thoughts or any...
I think the universe is an extra specially beautiful place on extreme windy days when the sun shadows are rolling across and dancing with the wind off the forest. It's like one of the things that you don't appreciate until you realize it's the thing that should be appreciated the most. There's a certain light and a certain sway of the shadow that reminds you that you're in like one magical reality. That's what I like about the windy days, like when the light and the wind are working together to put on a show. Fantastic.
Indeed, that was well said, Dave, and I thank you very much for your presence and your projections deep from within the mind.
Deep within the mind. Now, I hope that we survive the black hole weather forecast for this weekend.
You have been listening to the many colors of the Kaleidoscope Gallery.